What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back. April 21st. 2020, Ben the Breaker of Banksters here, bringing on my co-host, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, sir?
Yeah, we're 1 month on from the stock market crash, the massive debt monetization, and the pandemic panic, the real ramp up in the death tolls. 1 month since that all broke, and been broadcasting straight through since January, Ben. Haven't taken a break.
Absolutely. We definitely hit the all-time record for number of episodes in a row since we've come here on the PBN, Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We haven't missed a Tuesday since January.
Exactly. So and trust me, we have a lot to talk about still. It's not like we're want for info either, but hey, that's awesome. I'm still strong. I know we're going to take a break here at some point, but we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we didn't have time for a break this week, did we?
No, and the timing joining the Prepper Broadcasting Network, we had our own blog talk station, right? And then Intrepid Commander invited us over. We said, yeah, we'll do that, just before this entire crisis hit. And I couldn't be prouder of being a part of this network. And the timing, you know, although unfortunate for the nation, our ability to speak to a larger audience has been a great thing. I'm really, really glad to be here, Ben.
Me too. Absolutely. I've gotten several emails, and not just for the contest winners we've had so far. Had a couple contests. Not a contest tonight, but just keep on the lookout for that on future Patriot Power Hour episodes. But I've gotten feedback, gotten to know a few of the hosts here at PBN as well, as the listeners, and great time, you know. And that's kind of weird to say, having a great time with all this bad stuff going on. And I'm not a doomsayer, I'm not a doom porn type of person, but there is that kind of that camaraderie, and yeah, things are bad, but when you're with the right people, you can, at least when you're all working in the same direction, you can build kind of that camaraderie. And given all the craziness, it is kind of fun, or at least, you know, you feel like you're with a good group.
Totally. But the news 1 month on is, you know, the same bad news is still with us. What are you looking at this week? I know you spoke to me earlier about oil going to negative. I don't know if now's the time or you want to save that one, but I'd like that to be explained to me, and why it's just an absurd economic fallout from last month's crisis.
Yeah, you know what? We'll see how short I can keep this into the first segment. I do want to talk about it a little more in depth at the second half of the show tonight, this April 21st episode. But it is not just the hot topic of the week, but literally of today. We're looking at crude oil dropping 35%+ in 1 day, just today. Now, what we saw from the Dow, that major panic about a month ago and throughout March, that was not even one-third, just about one-third market loss at its worst. We saw that in just 1 day today after crude oil has already been eviscerated. It's down between 75 and 80% since this time last year, or it's you know, 52-week high. That sounds good if you're trying to fill up SUVs and are a consumer of petrol fuels, right? But there's so many second and third order effects that are very negative, and I'll get into a lot of those. I won't go into the diatribe right now, but I feel like this is massive, not just from economic scale, though, but the national security part of it, but also geopolitical with Russia's heavily, heavily involved, Saudi Arabia, okay, all these other oil-producing states, and now the United States, major oil-producing, but these frackers are so far underwater, so just so many things to talk about with that.
Yeah, and it was less than 4 months ago that oil prices were surging after the United States killed the top Iranian commander in an airstrike. Like, that seems like ancient history here in April.
Absolutely. You know what else sounds like ancient history? Back when oil was $120, $130, $150, you know, 10 years ago or so. We were at $13.96. Yes, correct. You heard that. Essentially $14 per barrel right now. Unbelievably low. Now, we're seeing a bounce back. You know, this is kind of the crazy part about percentages. I have a master's in finance. I've done so many math problems. It's ridiculous. And I always found it so weird that if something goes down 30% and then goes up 30%, it's still down by a good margin. And that's what we're seeing with oil. It's up 20% in the last 3 hours since the market closed. I guess 4 hours. It's up 20%. But that's only $2 when it had like $15 chopped out overnight. So there are these wild, dead cat bounces, right? And crazy volatility. But it's just stair-stepping down. And it's going to be ugly for a lot of people out there.
I got to be honest. When I was putting together the indicators for future danger, we set up the indicator, you know, oil prices hit record high as dangerous, right? You know, $150 a barrel oil would really mean limited supply here. I never, ever considered that there'd be a modern quarantine, stay-at-home orders that would do this to the oil industry. And I'm still not certain it's really bad news or what's wrong with it, right? I mean, the companies will go bankrupt, but in the end, we'll need oil again, so they'll come back.
To some degree, yes. The thing is, this is kind of that, take the same concept of flattening the curve, right? If there was a somewhat steady reduction in oil prices, you know, a few percent a month over 18-month period, that would be real ugly.
Yeah.
But we're seeing not just double digits, but 20-30% in a day. And again, 75-80% from where it was in the last year, and really like 95% from its all-time high. So
as soon as people start driving again, there will be an industry, right? We got millions of cars off the road right now in the United States. Everybody's staying home. That can't possibly persist because the damage it's doing to the macro economy is, you know, obviously enormous. You know, we'll hit the headlines in segment two on economics, but there's wealth destruction widespread. Eventually, people are going to go back to work and the cars will run again. So all these oil companies, it would be, you know, too bad for you if you invested in them right now, but we're not going to not have oil companies.
Well, no, that's well put. It depends how long this lasts for. If we see oil back in $60, $70 in a year, it won't be end of the world. But if it stays at this level for 3-5 years, what we're going to see is that infrastructure. And so everyone talks about how America is the number one exporter of oil. That was huge headlines just months ago. And if this oil price stays at this very low number, and I mean $25. It's 14 right now, but if it stays below 25, which is a long way to go from here, it seems like, so many businesses will go bankrupt and so many of those projects in the basins and the fracking mostly will go belly up. And, yeah, they'll be able to be restarted, but the amount of loss, it's not easy to just stop and start these processes en masse. So if it's only a few weeks like this, it won't be that bad. And people, and if we do get back to a semblance of normalcy by June 1st in terms of driving, yeah, it might recover to some degree. But anything more than that, we're really pushing it. And I think you're going to be heading towards nationalization of the oil sector if it goes beyond the summer.
Well, there's all kinds of critical infrastructure and industries that the Department of Defense, if no other part of the government, is going to point at and say, well, you know, we have M1 Abrams tanks, and they're, you know, we have large numbers of them in Europe as a deterrence to war. They got to run on gas. I mean, they'll nationalize it for defensive purposes in a heartbeat. That's why, you know, but this is the absurdity of negative priced oil. Like, in theory, right, I should buy it because somebody's going to pay me to hold it, but that's not really what's happening. You got tankers all around, you know, trying to offload, and there's no place to put it because nobody's driving their cars.
Yeah. You're the one that's asked me multiple times recently, what is money? What happens when the value of money is questioned, the reasoning, the logic behind it, right? With all these negative interest rates and crazy debt, what does it matter if it's another few trillion? What does it matter? Well, you see these crazy price swings like we're seeing now because there's
distortions.
Major distortions. Exactly.
Major distortions.
And they happen instantly.
This is just a stupid distortion that when the rubber band snaps back the other way, what's worse next time, right?
Definitely. But the distortion, think about like your heartbeat. That's kind of a rhythm. That's the business cycle. But if you get too many crazy distortions too far out of the norm, you're destroying tissue, destroying arteries, and having a heart attack. You can't take that much volatility for that long, or just guts so much so quickly.
And the surgeon at the table is Jerome Powell. How's he doing?
So everyone knows I'm the breaker of banksters, not a fan of central banking, but if I was in his position, even with the best of intentions, I don't know if there was much I'd be able to do at this point. You know, he did everything he could do with the reversing interest rates to 0%, with adding between 2 to 4 trillion, we'll see in the end. That's just on this current phase of bailout. 2 to 4 trillion to the balance sheet. A lot of that are U.S. treasuries, but also mortgage-backed securities. We all know about those. Different municipality bonds. So all those bankrupt cities we've been talking about coming down the pike a long time. The Fed's just going to buy it. It's going to be okay.
4.58% increase over the last 7 days, Fed total assets. It never stops.
10% every week at least. So crazy.
Modern monetary theory is actualizing right now, and we'll see where it ends up, but none of this is good for a long-term stable economy in a democratic republic like ours. This is not good.
Definitely not. Absolutely. We got enough problems, issues, and concerns in this country and this world dealing with all this stuff. But all right, folks, we got the break coming in. Guess what? We got the news blitz coming down on the other side of this. Until then, do stick with us. Check out a couple of the sponsors. We'll be right back with you. Patriot Power Hour on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. I met my love by the gasworks wall. Dream the dream by the old canal.
Of the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
This is a special announcement from the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Contact us now for preparedness consultation. We use a network of professionals to build your base of essential preparedness. Let us put you in touch with those professionals in emergency response planning, first aid and medicine, security tactics and training, gunsmithing, food safety, and community organizing. Our experts cover homesteading to bushcraft and everything in between. Build a real emergency response plan for your family or business. Create a written contingency plan complete with drills, guides, and annual goals. Customize your strategy to threats you face today. PBN experts can write your plan to address the six categories of base-level preparedness. We will discuss how to meet each need within your budget. Create an effective bug-out plan. There is a lot to the bug-out. If you are truly going to evacuate in an emergency, let's talk about it. Go deep and build out your prepping dreams. Have you tackled the basics? Take it to the next level with tactical and investment advice from our subject matter experts. Let's set up that initial consult and get your preparedness goals met. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com/preparedness-consultation. Affordable preparedness consulting starts with a $50 initial consult. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, building self-reliance and independence across the nation.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Who wouldn't publish it?
I got it. Well, what am I supposed to do? You want to write a piece called We're All Fucked?
Yes, that's a perfect title.
Casey, right now, every bank in town is unloading these shit bonds onto unsuspecting customers, and they won't devalue them until they get them off their books. This level of criminality is unprecedented, even on fucking Wall Street.
Jamie, this is me being honest here, okay? It took me years to build my relationships on Wall Street. No bank or ratings agency is going to confirm a story like this just because it comes from two guys in a... Sorry, GarageBand hedge fund that wow. thinks it's the apocalypse.
Wow.
I thought you were for real, Casey. You know, I have to say, I really did.
Really? Yeah, Jamie, you try being for real with a three-year-old and a wife getting her master's degree. Like, I'm not going to burn my reputation on your wild hunch.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. Time for the news blitz. April 21st, 2020. Follow along. It's very easy to follow along. You go to futuredanger.com. Simply put, futuredanger.com, best news site out there. Not only has current events and a great categorization and ranking, but also deep archives you can dig into. So go to futuredanger.com. The cornerstone of the Patriot Power Hour. We're going to go through it. Here we go first on this April 21st, 2020. First column, Liberty column. The Chinese government revises the Wuhan coronavirus death toll by up to 50%. Meanwhile, here in America, the Pennsylvania Health Department is underreporting coronavirus deaths. Blames computer glitches. Always easy to blame those. Federal judge blocks Twitter's bid to reveal Department of Justice surveillance requests. And guess what? That's the extent of the news in the first column. Unbelievable. The last 4 or 5 weeks we've had at least a dozen articles and indicators in that column. A lot of them the worst indicator level they could be. This one, I'm not saying what I just read wasn't important, but nothing too new. Let's go into the second column super quickly. Geopolitics and security. More to chew on, but only one at kind of that red threat level. 31,600 National Guard troops activated. Iowa sends National Guard troops to defend meat plants from the virus. And then another report saying that the National Guard troop count is now at 38,000 and change. So National Guard activated. I've not seen that too much over the 2 years or so, almost three. Geez, 2.5+ years of the Patriot Power Hour, but it's getting up there now. War with China starts. We got some activity there. Kind of low level. Obviously, no missiles fired, but that tension is only getting worse, not just because of coronavirus, but from the economic and trade issues as well. We're seeing that manifest itself. Two U.S. warships in the South China Sea dispatched near the China-Malaysia standoff. Chinese aircraft carrier conducts exercises in South China Sea. U.S. recon planes spotted after China sends ships past Taiwan. A couple more here in this column. Geopolitics, national security. United States Air Force abruptly ends continuous bomber presence on Guam. Chinese spy agency unveils failed 2016 coup plot against the Communist Party. See a lot of stuff in the Pacific these days for sure. Let me bring on Future Dan to finish out the news dashboard, news blitz. Future Dan, you're on.
All right, taking it to column three. Unemployment is still skyrocketing. Coronavirus sends one-fifth of workers to unemployment line in some states. Again, some states, a few. But one-fifth of the workers are out of work in some of these states. And New York would be obvious victim of this. Debt monetization, Ben's favorite topic. The Fed is buying $41 billion in assets daily. And again, up 4.5% Fed total asset change in the last 7 days. So the buying from fictional reserves of property that's supposed to be private just to prop it up from failing is continuing forthwith. Food shortage news has really died down. All we got this week is a Delaware chicken plant is forced to kill, you know, all its chickens, 2 million, due to staffing shortages. So people can't come to work, and now chicken is in limited supply, at least in Delaware. All right, North Korean cyber attacks threaten financial system. And Ben, I got to jump us back to column two. We got to talk about Korea. North Korea fires multiple surface-to-ship missiles into the sea. And intelligence reports this week indicating that North Korean leader may be in grave danger after surgery. So keep an eye on Korea.
Okay.
Because that whole thing could come apart at the seams if the man at the top dies in some kind of surgery. And in a regime like that, you know, a lot of people could get executed quickly as faction switch, and that whole thing could go, very, very high alert. South Korea would ramp up heavily. Column four, the pestilence. We got some news about coronavirus that isn't just the numbers, but we also have the numbers, and I want to run through those first.
Okay.
They're grim, but they tell you the trajectory. Saturday, 35,000 dead, 700,000 infected. Sunday, 40,755. Monday, 42,774. All right. And then today, Tuesday, April 21st, 2020, we hit 43,000 dead, 800,000 infected. So that's the flattening of the curve if it's happening. That's the, you know, the slowing of the growth, but it's still in the thousands of, 1,000 to 2,000 daily in the United States, and we're getting close to that million infected mark too. Known infected, that is very important aspect of this. COVID-19 leaving patients with breathing problems for months. Newest reports say. Another, coronavirus has mutated into at least 30 different strains. It is spread largely by people without symptoms and has now killed more Americans in 1 month than the flu killed in 1 year. And if there was an enterprising journalist out there, they'd go back and find all the articles in January from the mainstream media that indicated this was nowhere near as lethal as common flu. Those news reports, that propaganda was out there. Nobel laureate who discovered HIV says COVID-19 could only have been created in the lab. That under the extremely controversial indicator, labs lose control of pathogens. We're still looking at that Wuhan Viral Institute and whether this thing came out of there. All right. Shortages of testing swabs, protective gear, and specialized lab chemicals still widely reported. Lab tests apparently still delayed. Another controversial topic. And then we have it. We have the entire heat map. What kind of trends do you see left, right, up, down on the heat map dashboard tonight?
Still some of the major trends and storylines we've been watching, not just for weeks, but even for months in some of these. But the good news, and this is, here, I'll put this right back at you. Is it good news that the dashboard has calmed down, relatively speaking, in the last, you know, this time compared to this time last month? Or,
well, it's
go ahead.
It's all fallout. No, continue, please. But it's just okay. The fallout from a month ago.
And I was going to say, is it, I failed so bad because I was going to answer the question myself in such a way that it's just because some of the particular articles or some of the news that was SHTF level a week ago, 3 weeks ago, doesn't show up on here, doesn't mean it's not still currently festering or actively melting down. It's just that maybe there hasn't been a change in that status. But I totally botched that. I want you to give the true answer of kind of how the ebbs and flows of future danger work.
Yeah, there's a drought and things like a headline that you can say, you know, national emergency declared. That happened. Stock market crash. It happened. All those things went black on red. They happened. There's no news form right now. So, you know, it's a heat map of the news, but not necessarily the current situation, right? So maybe there ought to be a way to indicate, you know, permanently activate some of these. I never thought about that, building this thing, but, you know, some of these, you know, national emergency declared, yep, it's declared, it's going on. All those powers are in effect. They didn't stop happening. It's just right now, what are we going to report?
Right, exactly. So those who have been either with us for a long time, long-time followers of Future Danger, or maybe just people here that listened to us for the first time this week or a few episodes ago, remember that about Future Danger. But also remember, you can go back and look at those articles. It's not like Drudge or any of those other sites that not have kind of the news displayed on there. They don't have the archives. They don't have the categorization and the analytics and some of the graphs that Future Danger has. So not just shilling. It's legit stuff. I'm telling you, you need to go check out Future Danger. And that is the cornerstone of Patriot Power Hour for a reason.
Yeah, I got a pro tip real quick. If you want to know what headlines or indicators, I should say, indicators were active most recently, after the news runs out, they go inactive, they go blue, but they sort to the bottom. But there's actually a little bit of logic built in there. The most recently activated ones remain towards the top. And so if you go into column three right now, you know, bankruptcies, federal government taking on massive amount of debts, the stock market crashing, the dollar falling, the fear gauge VIX rising, all these things are still near the top. Tells you that they're not far away from just having happened or potentially coming back.
Absolutely. You know what I owe you, Future Dan? I owe you mathematical analysis and data mining. I might have to do that as a summer project. Anyway, folks, we're headed into the commercials, but we'll be back in just a few minutes. Do stick with us. Check out the sponsors.
Never a frown with golden brown.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month? $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. Patreon.com/PBN.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Whatever possessed God in heaven to make a man like Rambo?
God didn't make Rambo. I made him.
Who the hell are you?
Sam Trotman. Colonel Samuel Trotman.
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Your boy?
I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine.
I wonder why the Pentagon would send a full-bird colonel down here to handle this.
The Army thought I might be able to help.
Well, I don't know in what way. Rambo's a civilian now. He's my problem.
I don't think you understand. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
Well, we all appreciate your concern, Colonel. And we'll try to be extra careful.
I'm just amazed that he allowed any of your posse to live.
Is that right?
Strictly speaking, he slipped up. You're lucky to be breathing.
That's just great. Colonel, you came out here to find out why one of your machines blew a gasket.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore pain. Ignore weather. To live off the land. To eat things that'll make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, second half of this April 21st episode. Coming right at you, Ben, the Breaker of Bankster's Cochran. Follow me on Twitter, at BanksterBreaker. Follow me on Facebook. Simply put, Ben Cochran. Find my public profile. Or Dethrone the Banksters. Dethrone the Banksters. Got a couple thousand fans, and always good to post some funny memes about the Banksters and all this garbage going on in our world. Up and see what my old friends back on Facebook are doing. And, of course, Dethrone the Banksters at gmail.com. Another place to find me. Enough of me. Let me pass it on to Future Dan. He can let you know where you can reach out to him and find some more of his work.
Yeah, just email me at info@futuredanger.com or find us on Twitter at FutureDanger6. Hey, your crowd, your followers on Facebook, there's a piece of news this week that would spin them up. I know it because I've seen a lot of your Facebook followers. You know, they have a lot of people put, you know, little insignias in there. At least, you want to believe they're people. But the Attorney General refuses to release 9/11 documents implicating the Saudis. Pretty much after Trump made it pretty clear that he was possibly going to release that information. So what do you make of that news right now?
I'm glad you bring that up because I had not even thought about that since about the time it was said to be coming out. So that's a perfect example of something that just kind of gets lost in all this. And I certainly wasn't going to follow up on or think of. So, wow.
Some kind of something negative that if it comes out, it's destabilizing, I guess. Maybe it's the Bush administration and the legacy levers of influence and power and information they have that, I don't know, or maybe it's just would be so destabilizing to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia that our intel people say, you go and put that out there, that whole part of the world could come apart at the seams. I don't know what's going on behind that.
Interesting you bring that up. You got to remember that the reason the U.S. dollar not the reason, but a major reason that the U.S. dollar is able to function as the reserve currency is because oil is priced in U.S. dollars and U.S. dollars alone. That's why it's called the petrodollar. And with oil collapsing like this, Saudi Arabia, which is already running a massive deficit at like $80 or $100 a barrel oil, and you know their cost of production is like $7, but they pay off all their princes and all they pay have a huge welfare state to keep people under control, and they have a very expensive war in Yemen, by the way. That's you know, they got to buy all these tanks and stuff from American defense contractors too. But I digress. They are really tight on cash right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they – well, I don't know if how that necessarily – maybe that means they're even more vulnerable. And if it was time to break our addiction to Saudi Arabia, we really need to press the attack on the 9/11 connection if there is one. But, you know, it's nefarious stuff going on. It just shows how interlinked everything is.
Yeah. There's another piece of news that we didn't get to in the – news blitz that is quite interesting. The Chinese spy agency has unveiled that there was a failed 2016 coup plot against the Communist Party. I don't know how serious that is or how, you know, what kind of power the coup plotters had. But you watch that sort of thing, you have to remember, if this virus hasn't informed you of what the government in Beijing is, it could get overthrown because it's not democratic and there's factions within it, right? Early in the history of FutureDanger.com, we had reports of, you know, just warehouses exploding where senior officials were. And, you know, you got to keep an eye on the stability of big regimes like that, too.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Remember what we were doing? Maybe... into the summer. I don't know if it was about this time last year, but definitely mid-year 2019, towards the end, all those protests in Hong Kong. What's happened since then? It could be a couple different outcomes of all this, but generally speaking, it seems like that's been nipped in the bud. And they could have easily gone through and used the COVID lockdowns to decapitate the resistance, so to speak. I'm absolutely not surprised if that happened, and you know, other strategies like that too.
They've all been locked down. No one's been able to go to the streets. So maybe it's all dormant too. It may come back with a vengeance because you know, there's parts of China that you gotta be complete ideologue to not realize that you were let down by your government.
Well, I got a question for you. I heard someone say on a different radio program that China's looking to kind of formally annex Taiwan. And whether it's an invasion or more of like a German 1930s annex or some other form of that, do you think that's in the cards at all? And again, this is Taiwan, not Hong Kong, although I guess you could throw Hong Kong as a scenario too. Do you see that potentially happening? And what would the U.S. do about it?
Neither side, Taiwanese, which was the Republic of China's and everybody who fled there, or the communists have ever accepted that, you know, the other actually has the country. They both consider themselves the government of China. You know, Taiwanese have been on an island for a long, long time, so they don't really aspire to it anymore. But the communists on the mainland never accepted that that was not still China.
Right.
And, you know, we got, you know, the Air Force intruding into Taiwanese airspace this past week, Chinese speedboats ramming Taiwanese Coast Guard vessels. We got, you know, they're doing aircraft task forces where they're single aircraft carrier, but they're sailing that past Taiwan and out into the South China Sea. So is it a distraction, or if they sensed there was a weakness on our part, they could grab that. It's the million man swim, and it would be the start of World War III without a doubt. That would do it. There would be all kinds of weapons being used in the Western Pacific at sea and the air that would eventually make their way to cities, I would suspect.
So you think, do you think there's a chance the U.S. would stand down and not risk a World War III in that type of scenario or not?
Do you think the leadership of Taiwan hasn't, you know, thought about that and then, you know, acquired nuclear weapons or guarantees of their use? If the Taiwanese have no nukes, then it could happen. But I think they got them or they got access to them, and they would, it would go to World War III right there. Lots of Chinese cities and Taiwan itself would get absolutely annihilated. And they all have to understand that it could come to that, which is why all this news on FutureDanger.com is low level. Although, in terms of anomalous nuclear force activity, just strange things that you don't usually see, the fact that the United States Air Force abruptly ended its continuous bomber presence on Guam, meaning it's not going to advertise that it has nuclear bombers there. They're just going to be in the air or coming and going and not publicly, you know, their movements aren't publicly reported, is clearly a sign that someone in the Pentagon said, we got to lift this up a level and put some more deterrence in here, because, you know, you got to make the Chinese think they're at risk, or they might decide to take Taiwan.
Very interesting. I got so many scenarios going through my head here, because in particular, when I was in grad school at Purdue, I would say 20% of my classmates were from mainland China and 20% were from Taiwan. And the kids from Taiwan were much more kind of Americanized, right? They remind me of kids from Japan or South Korea or something. The kids from mainland China, you could tell there was something, I'm not going to say off about them because they were nice, but you could tell they were kind of robotic. But you got to remember, these are also some of their best students, and their system's extremely, doesn't breed creative thinking, but trust me, these people were very smart, and, you know, I thought blending a team of Westerners and Eastern folks was the perfect combo, but I digress. But long story short, the year before I went back to Purdue for that program, apparently there was, it wasn't violent, but a pretty bad argument in class between some of the kids from Taiwan and some from China. And I'm sure the people from America were just kind of sitting back like, oh my God, I ain't saying nothing on this. So apparently, you know, there is some animosity between Taiwan and China, but I'm just wondering, has that eroded over time? Would some in Taiwan kind of welcome, if not with open arms, at least say, hey, you know, we don't want to be out on our own in this massive, you know, in this new world of recession, potentially global depression. We got to go with China. It's our only hope. Maybe not. Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe they're like, hell no, get us away from this red China.
I'm pretty sure most people in Taiwan listening to someone who might suggest any of that would be pressured to, they must believe, and they would immediately say that person is an agent, a communist agent.
Yeah.
And all the scenarios for taking down that country involve a first wave of covert warfare where, you know, parts of the government can be crippled within. So the intelligence service in Taiwan for decades has always been, you know, completely active defending and offensively, I'm sure at times too, the communist regime. I don't think anybody's speaking up about that without a whole set of biases coming in of who in China are you working for, right?
Definitely. No. And I'm just kind of concerned or just thinking, at what point is there a tipping point? I'm sure China's been trying to subvert them, obviously, for decades, and maybe they're gaining ground, maybe not. More questions to be pondered here in the Patriot Power Hour. Look, we're going to our final break, but we will be right back.
My
we're
talking only about song.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us. Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Okay, Colonel, now you got us all scared to death. What do you and the Special Forces think I ought to do about your psycho out there?
Let him go.
Do what?
For now. Defuse the whole situation. Defuse him. Provide a little gap and let him slip through it. Then put out a nationwide APB. In a couple of weeks, you'll pick him up in Seattle or someplace working in a car wash. There'll be no fight and nobody else will get hurt.
I do my own work. I don't figure the best way to do that is to close my eyes and hope he gets picked up in Seattle.
Well, if you send your people in there after him, they'll get killed.
You know, we're just a small hick town sheriff's department, Colonel, but we're expected to do our duty just like our heroes in the Special Forces.
In Special Forces, we teach our people to stay alive in the line of duty.
No shit. I never thought of that.
You want a war? You can't win.
Are you telling me that 200 men against your boy is a no-win situation for us?
You send that many. Don't forget one thing.
What?
A good supply of body bags.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriots, detecting and addressing home security vulnerabilities should be part of your preps. And as non-experts in this domain, Ben and I have turned to a guest post on Modern Survival Online. Thoughts on survival in the world today. And we got an article here from Rourke, January 2011. But it rotated through their stream, and I picked it up, and it's just as fitting today as ever. So credits to Rourke at the previously mentioned source. But then I wanted to get into a little bit of practical matters, because the geopolitical, strategic, macroeconomic scene and pandemic scene is not much more to say about it.
We've covered pretty much every angle of a stimulus, debt spending, police state surveillance, state medical state. So let's bring it a little more micro. I like where you're going with it.
Yeah. So if any of that is indeed future danger that's going to actualize itself, stuff like this, how to keep your home safe, is vital. And it's what the rest of the hosts on this network predominantly talk about, is how to prepare. We're sort of the news show that complements it and tells you how close or far away you may be to needing to fulfill your preps. But several steps here, and I was just going to run through them. You want to go through them?
Absolutely. Go for it.
All right. So I'll read the headline for each section, and you tell me what your reaction is. Try to view your home through the criminal's eyes. How would you do that?
You know, you just got to try to use your imagination and desperation. I think one example, here's a stupid and silly sounding example, but it's very true. Let's say you have a loose ladder just next to your house, right, or near your garage. And you keep all your doors locked, you have a security system, but hey, maybe your top windows, you open it up for fresh air and you just forget to lock it. You know, you may not think of that, but in desperate situations, someone might see that, think you're not home or whatever. And go for it. So what I'm saying is think outside the box and think of what desperate people would think of, not just the convenience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they're desperate enough to be thieving like that and being in your backyard, they're trying to assess if you're a target. So, you know, that's really what this author means is, you know, view your house as a target and think of it that way. And this goes for your property, your perimeter, wherever your location is. If you're temporarily halted while you're traveling, you know, view it through the, you know, whoever may be approaching you's eyes. That's how you design your defenses. Number two, view your home security in layers.
Okay.
So external, internal, and personal is what the author gives. And two of those are easy, but where do you draw the line on personal? Like, internal is my house, and I'm in there. External is everything outside, the perimeter and the outside of your house.
Yeah.
But personal, I think what he's talking about is, like, what kind of skills do you bring in defense and security? And then, obviously, weapons that would assist you. So I think that's the personal there.
That makes sense. Maybe as simple as, hey, we're in a heightened state of security. We are right now with the coronavirus, in my opinion. They have let so many criminals go and low-level perps out of jail or postpone their hearings. Maybe personal in this situation would, instead of just having one firearm out of the gun safe, you have a few of them out throughout the house, kind of up your game. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, and depending on the threat level, you're going to want to implement that as a plan that everybody living there knows.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Number three, look at your home at night, all right?
Okay.
You know, home invaders scout. They scout a lot, again, looking for the targets. So can't make that possible at night. Although thermal technology is widespread, and this does harken back to an age where, you know, you had to shine light to know if somebody was there, you know. But if you have thermal technology, you probably don't have thermal cameras. If you have those, you're all set, really. But, you know, have floodlights in obvious places. Motion-sensitive floodlights is a must if you're doing anything serious about home security.
Definitely. And I think maybe this is where layers come into effect as well. So you may have some sort of fancy security system, but if the power goes out or the Wi-Fi goes out, will it still function? Or will it function for more than a couple days without going out because of batteries? Do you have another layer of lighting or cameras that aren't relying on that one system? You know, kind of harden it, I guess, might be where it's at. And I've done some of this, but think of it now. No, there's definitely, whatever you do, there's different layers and more that can be done, obviously.
Right, right. Number four, examine each entry point closely. Look for places where you'd be targeted because if the threat knows you're not at home, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to work the doors. He can start smashing windows. Now, a critique of this article I would have is it says figure out what the most vulnerable entry points to your home are. But, you know, short of putting bars into doors, there's no real way to stop this. And a lot of people live in places where that's not customary. They wouldn't be comfortable with bars and windows, and you know, some proprietaries might ban it.
Absolutely. So I guess that's why it's vulnerable, and maybe that's why you are more prepared in that area, or maybe you have a layer within there that's more robust. But like you said, unfortunately, a lot of folks not in the greatest position, and there are limitations, so you got to take the other parts more seriously.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And maybe this guy was just stretching the article, right?
True, yeah.
Because the very next step is you know, get glass breaking, broken glass sensors, place them on ground floor windows, right? So that's a good solution. That's a really technical solution. As long as you can be made aware of, hey, glass is broken into your house, you know, if you're too far away from your house, at that point you're calling the police. Deadbolt locks are obvious, right? And just seeing that you have deadbolts, you know, will probably have a deterrence factor that you want.
Definitely. And In a way, this article is out of date because guess what? Everyone's home these days, but that's not going to last forever. And just because you're home 24/7 doesn't mean, you know, people aren't going to get desperate enough. And at least where I'm at right now, I'm not noticing a big uptick in crime, even though those low-level offenders have been released. Okay? But you said something earlier, and not to give anything away, but you said some police activity has gone up maybe in your area, the patrol. I feel like from what I've seen, the police have backed off during this coronavirus thing. And I have not seen, at least in the reporting, I've looked locally where I live, too many more crimes or much higher crime level than usual. Do you think that's going to last if we're shut down much longer? Number one. And number two, you said you might be seeing some more police activity, patrols and whatnot. Can you go into that a little more?
Yeah, they went totally dormant from that crisis for several weeks. I never saw any police out. But then again, most people weren't out. But an article like this is good to be thinking about, because if we got an onslaught of even worse news, right? You know, if it goes real bad from here, everybody wants to get out and have a quarantine ended. But what humanity wants and what it ends up getting from nature and from its, you know, power structures isn't always the same, right? So, you know, everybody might be at home right now, but some people might start getting desperate. And even if you're in your house, you know, doing these things is critical. I think I missed a part of about the police activity. I wanted to tell you that, you know, it's becoming very clear to me that our police forces and our medical forces are designed for non-crisis situations, and the people that plan this stuff know this. And when they get stressed, they sort of behave similarly. You know, there's an article that we also didn't even get a chance to cover in segment two about how the Detroit Police Department is suffering from coronavirus disproportionately. That's when you might want to be able to, you know, secure your home when you're in a place where that sort of thing might happen to your police force.
Absolutely. And like you said earlier, we're kind of preaching to the choir. I know the listeners and hosts of PBN, a lot of you got it squared away, but there's always layers, always improvements to make. I know I've got a fire lit under me since all this began a few months ago to improve everything all around. So anyway, it's about time to get out of here. Future Dan, another great episode in the bank. I'll talk to you next week. All right, buddy?
All right. Great show. Glad to be here, Ben. Everybody stay safe.
Great show. Folks, Next Generation's coming up next on the Double Barrel Tuesdays on the PBN. Otherwise, for the Patriot Power Hour, this is Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, signing off. See you next week, April 28th.